How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Correa, very good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I had it taken out of me by an eel.
Oh, my God.
So my hand stitched up. So when I started typing this morning's report, I thought you're very lucky to hear from me.
Well, thank goodness your mouth is still working.
At least, exactly. At least. What a week though, Howard. I mean, really, I feel exhausted, not just from my little incident, but by the media I was affronted by.
That's exactly. And I think we do get to that point that we just are often assaulted, I think, by the media.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, let's talk about the Indabele man. Well, now they're calling him an activist, who turned up, Thando Mahlangu turned up at Boulder's Mall dressed in traditional wear and was not allowed into the mall by a gentleman called Jose Maponyani, who's apparently Tswana. And it happened in Clicks. So when I opened Clicks trending, yeah. I knew what was coming. I thought, racism. And then I was like, okay, not racism, tribalism. Then I thought, okay, well, let's see what all the fuss is about. So went and had a proper look at the story. And here was a video of a man dressed in Indabele attire, and he wasn't allowed in the mall because apparently he was indecently dressed. So it looked from the back like this man was dressed. It took him months to get dressed. It was so well assembled what he was wearing. But when I saw the fronts, I started to understand why there was some story here, because they only wear like a little Speedo in the Indabele tribal uniform. And then I thought, well, how would my kids feel, or how would kids feel if they saw that in Clicks? So my mind was like spinning, and I was checking my unconscious bias, and I was doing all sorts of things.
It is overwhelming. Thought, no wonder you had to go and lie down afterwards.
Yeah, I had to have a lot. So it wasn't racism because it was two black men fighting, but it was tribalism because against the Indabele tribe. But actually, it wasn't either of those isms. It's sexism, because a woman is encouraged to walk around in hot pants and a tank top and let in anywhere. But the minute a man, let's just say an ordinary man, walks in from the beach in a Speedo, there's something wrong with that.
But personally, I'm grateful, okay. But does that make me sexist?
No, I think that it's more just about the fact that,
right, I mean, I'm not even talking about the women part of it. I think Speedos are a problem.
They really are.
I mean, that's just my discomfort.
But I mean, the whole thing is that there's a whole bunch of double standards going on here, and we're calling it tribalism, and actually, I don't think it's even tribalism. I think that we're very, very confused as a nation. The EFF turned up though, and then they saw there was no white people involved, and then they left.
That is funny. That is very, very funny.
And then, I mean, if we didn't talk about Zondo Commission, the state capture inquiry was so busy this week, wasn't it? I mean, firstly, we saw SARS. We learned that this institution went from international accolades. I mean, Johan van Lochenberg was testifying how, internationally, big countries like Switzerland and European countries wanted to know how it was we were so great at collecting our tax revenue, you know, specifically from the illicit cigarette trade. I mean, that was a big feather in our cap. And then it got hijacked. So it got hijacked, not by a rogue unit, for anyone who's paying attention, but by a set of rogues. I mean, Advocate Seleka also had his moment when he nailed a Notch Singh. That's to be continued. But even the council was like, no, you better take a break now. So I like that bit. And then Darlene Porfu stood up against Praveen Gordhan, standing for Tom Moyani. And what an absolute disaster unfolded on my screen. Did you see that appalling behavior?
I saw the behavior, and then I saw how it was they tried to spin it, which was even worse because they left out certain parts of the testimony. Really crazy.
Well, I mean, firstly, Darlene Porfu is a sock, guys. Like for those who don't know, that's the top of the top, the cream of the crop of advocates, okay? He stood up there, he didn't know what page numbers belonged where. He was disorganized. He was arrogant. He did nothing but be condescending and bullying to Gordon. The very same thing he was standing up and saying that Gordon had done to Mayani. So double standards much. And then he told the council to shut up. In fact, it was more than that. Like, if you watch the whole thing, basically was telling Zondo to shut up, which was a very, very big, big move. Zondo, of course, came out. I mean, Praveen got away. Like, he lapped it up, didn't he? He just lapped up every second. The amateur dramatics on his face were just something else as well. I was such a fan. I'm so not a fan after SAA. Like, that's how it turned me. Anyway, Zondo chucked down the bar and said that it will never happen again in his courtroom. That the next time Darlene Porfu comes into court, that he's not allowed to do anything near what he got away with in this time. But it just makes me so sad because he's looked at as a role model in our country. And even me, like, I had a lot of respect for Darlene Porfu. It's faded after his appearance at the Zondo Commission. But yesterday and the day before, it's just appalling. Then, of course, President Ramaphosa said he would appear at the Zondo Commission, which confused me because, like, the commission's end result is for the document to end up on the president's desk to decide what he does with it. So if we do find that Ramaphosa has been involved in illegal activity, so is he going to discipline himself? Like, so that confused me. To be fair, guys, state capture inquiry since Zuma said he won't go has become little more than telly time, you know, of watching advocates take shots at one another, to be honest. Zuma, of course, that going to Concord this week again and again and again and again. I mean, how many times? An extremely good advocate put forward the case of how Zuma should be arrested, and that a fine is certainly not going to cut it. But we don't seem to move any forward,
no,
do we?
No, and as you say, it really disempowers this commission. The disgrace of an ex-president not standing before a commission to talk about integrity is just mind-blowing. And it's just we just kind of accept that's, oh, well, that's Jacob Zuma, isn't it?
Yeah, we shouldn't. I mean, all we're doing is creating a video archive of our very poor history, you know? Mm. Amidst all this brouhaha, the mastermind behind the death of Tshego Fatshepule faced court proceedings and they were postponed yet again. So now you look at Zuma and you look at this mastermind, so-called. I mean, I don't know why you call him a mastermind, but anyway. And then you see that they're like, you understand why it's been dragged through the system. The system is not working. There's double standards everywhere. I'll put it into context for laymen. ReCoffee had a campaign this week where you punch in your email address and you get a free coffee. Right? So, but they didn't verify the email addresses. So it would be Tonya Curry at Hotmail or whatever. And then I could put Tonya Curry 2, Tonya Curry 3, right, Tonya Curry 4. And I'd get my coffee. So they literally emptied the ReCoffee machines in seconds when people worked out the glitch. And I'm sure with Easter weekend coming up, there's many people sitting with a cold drink in their car to get past some sort of bylaw or another. So we need to, this double standards story is endemic in our country and we really need to address it. We need to look at ourselves and instead of buying that cold drink this long weekend, guys, can we please get a blanket and a tin of food? Because winter's coming. Drakensberg has hit, the snow's hit the Drakensberg.
Absolutely.
You know, a little bit of kindness goes a very long way. We're surrounded by rubbish and double standards and just hate, just vitriol. Let's try and change that.
I want to ask you about your story because you did experience kindness and that to me is, in fact, we actually even spoke to somebody this week. I saw a story on hashtag I'm staying about a woman in Mpumalanga where two kids, in fact, from our community went out there on the public holiday to plant a whole vegetable garden for them. And I just love those stories because it's those personal stories that actually define what we are, not all of the other stuff. Tell us about your story this week.
Well, I went underneath the sea, Da Sea, and took my camera with me, and there were a couple of shrimp that I was filming, but where my hand was, I didn't see that there was a black cheek amore. Now, if any divers out there will know that black cheeks are very aggressive. They're not the nicest eels on the planet, like not the nicest amore eels. There's quite a few you can get quite friendly with, but not the black cheeks. So the black cheek came out, and I didn't see him still to this day. It's not even on the camera footage, but he tore a big chunk out of my left hand. And what I forgot, Howard, is that underwater you lose color. So here was all this green stuff coming out of my hand. And I thought, it's venom.
Oh, my
word. I'm
going
to die.
That's so funny.
It was blood. But it was gushing. And I went up to the DMs, Afrikaans in background. So I'm going to put this into cultural perspective. He's Afrikaans in background. He calmed me down. He held my hand tight. And we slowly ascended to the surface. When we got to the surface, my skipper Prince, who is a Zulu guy, he lifted me literally out of the water because I couldn't climb into the boat. Then hailed down another boat with a set of English people. And they then took me onto the beach. As I landed on the beach, here was a tractor driven by another Zulu guy who took me straight
Amazing.
To the beach hut where
this.
The beach manager, who is also a Zulu guy, had gone and picked up my car and driven it onto the beach
Rubbish.
To take me straight to a set of another Afrikaners who cleaned my wound but couldn't stitch it because it was too severe. I was then whisked away by a person who also comes from, I think from Zimbabwe. I was taken from there to the clinic, the local clinic that I didn't even know existed. When I got there, I was met by the most wonderful angel of a man, and another Zulu man who took me, whisked me through the system, did the stitches, deadened the wound, walked out with antibiotics, with a tetanus shot, with painkillers, and a carriage to take me home and put me in my bed. I was so spoilt and so endeared by the small community and how I didn't even have time to catch my breath before everything was resolved. They were just brilliant.
And that, to me, is the story of our country.
Yay. That, and me too, Howard.
It is 826.
Like, really,
yeah.
it's a microcosm of good. It really
100%.
Is. And we could all learn from it.
And celebrate it. It's 826. Tanya Khoury, thank you as always. Have a fantastic weekend. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Ronnie says, unless you look like Brad Pitt or Zac Efron, a Speedo is an absolute no.